Peace and greetings, sis. So happy that you are able to join me this morning. How
Oh,
are
thank
you
you for
doing?
having me. I'm good. I'm very good today.
Good. All is well. Give thanks. Let's start with a deep breath, like just a grounding breath so we can be on the same page. We're going to inhale, count to three, and then exhale, count to four. Let's do that again. Inhale, count to three. And then exhale, count to four. Time, inhale. I'm so excited for you to be joining me today. I'm really, really glad in how things just work out quickly, shop, shop. And what I would like to do is start with you just introducing yourself to all the ladies who are listening right now on the podcast.
I'm Lumen Grace. I consider myself a courage coach, a life coach, and pretty much in general, a light worker. So my mission on this planet is to support women on their journeys to living courageously, authentically, and intentionally, and leaning into their inner voice and their inner guidance. So that is who I am. I am from Los Angeles, California, more specifically Compton, California, born and raised. Right. And so, yeah, this is what I'm doing in this season and in this chapter of life. I have been a full-time digital nomad for the last 4 years, and I've traveled to over 30 countries, and it has been the most amazing journey of my life.
Good thanks, great. Good thanks. So I know that you all are listening and tuning in for season five of Rise of the Divine Feminine podcast. And this season, as you already know, is just about conversations with Black women who are finding pieces of themselves in other areas of the world. You know, we grow up in this society that kind of makes it seem as if we don't need to really go outside. We don't really need to. We got food at the house. You don't need to go outside. There's nothing for you out there, okay? And outside of making some visits to the Caribbean, outside of making some visits to other states, for the most part, I would say I haven't seen a lot of encouragement. There usually isn't much encouragement when it comes to traveling. There isn't a whole lot of dialogue around this concept of traveling, or especially not moving. Nobody's trying to move and go anywhere. So I want to hear about like your childhood, Lumen. Like, tell me a little bit about growing up. Like, what were the messages around travel, because you just said you grew up in Compton, and that's a very unique experience. I don't think that I think you guys are the last of a kind of dying breed, you know, the true people who are from this area, who know the culture, who know, you know, just the upbringing. So what was it like for you? What did you learn about travel at a young age? What was the understanding?
Honestly, travel came from my own curiosity in life. So when I was younger, I could say around me, there was not much talk around travel at all in my household. It was really about making it through the day. Now, I was one of those children who was bused to school. So I'm on the bus 2 hours a day, 5 a.m., wake up, getting home maybe 6:30 in the evening, from grade 1 to 12. So my
Wow.
experience, once again, it's very unique. So there's this, not much happening outside of that, aside from some time with family. And the only person I recall in my family or about tra hearing about travel was, oh, you have a cousin over in Japan in the military. Like that's the
Okay.
only concept I knew of travel when I was younger. and leave it to me to be obsessed with books. So in history class, learning about different places, I found myself gravitating towards wanting to learn and wanting to see new things. As I got older, I was obsessed with the Travel Channel, and especially International House Hunters. And so that was like my go-to show. And I always knew that travel somehow would be a part of my life, regardless of where I was. I was like, somehow I want to see this beautiful world and what it has to offer. So I, at 20, about 20 or 19, I got a passport. And I remember waving it in my grandma's face. And I was like, I don't know where I'm going, but I'm going somewhere. And a year later, I end up with a job opportunity in Germany, and I took it and I packed up, sold. I had a two-bedroom apartment. I packed up everything, sold it, gave stuff to family and friends, and within a week and a half, I was on a plane to Germany. So,
Wow.
yeah.
Wow. And tell me a little bit about how that was received. Like, you not coming from a family that traveled, obviously you weren't going for the military. So how was that received? Like, what was the energy around you, the black girl from Compton, going to Germany? Not for military.
Right. So it was received with, of course, questioning looks and curiosity as to why I literally would drop out of college in order to see the world. I figured college, school, and Los Angeles would always be there, but an opportunity to just explore, falling, not necessarily falling in my lap, but I was intentional about, again, seeing the world at some point and having that at my core. This happened, and I said yes. At the end of the day, I chose to say yes to an adventure. And my family, because of my track record of being the odd man out in a lot of ways, always walking to the beat of my own drum and going against convention, they were like, oh, this is just her. This is just her. We come to expect nothing less of her, to do something crazy or outlandish. And of course, it was met with resistance around. But you have everything you could want. I had a fully paid off car, two-bedroom apartment, again, in a really nice place in Ladera Heights in Los Angeles at that young age. Everything was fine. And for me, I was like, but I can get all this again. So yeah, it again, it's just me thinking on a grander scale. Of just wanting to experience life, that curiosity, that wanderlust spirit that will never die, I'd say. So.
I didn't even start out by asking you like where you are. So can you just tell the listeners like where you're located right now, and just give us an understanding of some of the countries that you've been to in the last 10 plus years?
Yeah, so right now I am currently in Montenegro. It is a small country. To the south of us, we have Albania. To the north, we have Croatia. So I'm right here in a little seaside town called Budva. And I have been jumping between Budva and Tivat, another city about 35 minutes away. A little $5 bus ride will get you there for the day if you want to go. And I am here. And so, most of the countries that I've explored when I started out full time as a digital nomad were here in Europe. And mostly in the Balkan countries. I end up leaving the USA with the beautiful savings. So I just was like, let me just pick a location. And I started in Albania. And from there, connecting with community, I ended up stumbling into digital nomad communities. And that's when my trajectory of all the extra travel, extra countries took off because we would kind of navigate here and there for opportunities or for collaborations or other events around Europe. So countries like Bulgaria, North Macedonia, pretty much most of Europe. So Austria, Czech Republic. I have not gone to Greece, but then up north, I've gone to the Netherlands and Germany, of course. One of my other favorites was Belgium and a little bit of the UK, Scotland, Ireland, England. And so that's where most of my travel has taken place. I did get a chance to go to a conference down in Cape Town, South Africa. So that was amazing to spend my 37th birthday there, in which I looped
Oh.
my best friend and cousin into coming so she could understand and experience what this
Oh.
community that I developed meant to me, that we could spend time outside of Los Angeles together and to just experience something new. So that was one of my favorite memories, was her
I love
literally
it.
jumping on the
I
plane to
love
come see me.
it. And I'm always curious about things like community. I'm always curious about things like finding friends abroad. Like, again, I'm sure when you left to go to Germany, you didn't bump into 100 other people from Compton. So I'm sure like you were the only one of the only one of the only one. And the first question I have is really about like, what did that first travel experience teach you? Like, if you could identify the spiritual lesson, like this is the lesson, and I'm so glad I learned it in this particular situation, because if I didn't learn it here, like I wouldn't have been able to do X, Y, and Z. What was the first spiritual lesson that you can identify learning once leaving the US?
Okay. I think the first lesson when it came to that Germany travel was that I am stronger than I think I am, and I'm more capable than I even give myself credit for. And if I choose to do something, that I absolutely can. So that is.
Pause. We gotta pause this because I am 100% sure, after having acknowledged that you were the black sheep, you were the one that everybody was like, she not gonna do what y'all said. She literally about to do her own thing. Like that's we've established that, right? I'm 100% sure that you knew you were strong. Let me clarify, because I want to make sure we don't fall into that trap. Because the people who are listening to this podcast right now, we've all been sold that bill of INDEPENDENT. Do you? We've all been sold that bill. We've all been programmed by the strong black women code, right? Thank you. Right. I want to know spiritually, what your ancestors were like, baby. Yes, give thanks. You're strong. But what is it that you needed to know about yourself that you would not have known for years if you had not specifically taken that trip and specifically gone to Germany? There had to have been a situation, an interaction, something that happened while you were there that said, whoa, I wouldn't have got this one on time. And I'm giving thanks specifically for this experience in this first travel. Tell me about that.
You know what? I would say my time communing with nature in that small village that I landed in was so powerful that I actually held the vision of standing in the forest with the light shining through for years in my mind as my go-to safe space, and understanding that there's more beyond what I can comprehend that exists in this
Give
world,
thanks.
and that it
Give thanks.
naturally is my birthright to be able to experience it.
Tell me about what happened. Like, where? How did you end up in the forest? How did you end up with the light shining on you? How did you end up in the Aztequenya? How did you end up there?
Well, the job that I had taken was to be an au pair, which is like a nanny. It wasn't for small kids, it literally is for a teenage girl. And they had two dogs. So I would walk in the forest morning and evenings with these dogs, literally 5 minute walk away from the house. And so again, I'm just experiencing that, seeing horses, nearby, and I am just awestruck by nature and being amongst these trees and feeling this beautiful energy. So that's kind of how I stumbled into the forest. And then to, again, you're just with your own thoughts at this point in time. You're just with your own thoughts and with nature and the energy. And that's kind of how that revelation came about, when I would take walks by myself as well. So,
I love it. And your name is Lumen, but we really have to like put those two pieces together, because obviously it would be that moment with light. obviously it would be that moment of illumination, right? But the question is, like, what did that light symbolize for you? Like, what did it mean? What was the understanding that you had beyond the light that brought you into a closer layer with who you are today?
Oh, good question. I would say that deeper understanding, honestly, it was like a remembrance. So it's not necessarily, it wasn't like, oh, this is all completely new. It was a remembrance and an understanding that just this interconnectedness that I have to myself and to my spirit team, who is always walking with me. So, yeah.
Now, were you aware at that time that you had a spirit team? Like, where were you on your spiritual journey? Like, were you new to it? Like, had you grown up with spiritual people? Had you grown up in Christianity? Like, what was your affiliation at that point?
I was raised by my grandparents, and my grandfather was a minister. And of course, my grandmother was a minister's wife and a teacher, literally for over 30 plus years now, maybe 50. At this point, she's still teaching Christianity and all the things. And when I was there in that community, I was always internally knowing something else for me spiritually. I recall experiencing energy in my room when I was younger, and connecting and not understanding what it was, but it always felt like something was watching me and connecting to me. So for me personally, I had never shared that with anybody. It was like, I don't know what this is, but I was always drawn to the occult and to learn about. Back then, it was like the only thing I knew to look up was like Wicca and what does it mean to connect to nature and all these different things. As a young person, I didn't know, because again, around me is just a Christian household. You can't wear pants. You can't listen to secular music. You're just in this bubble of church. But for me, I would, kind of secretly dabble in this understanding of something beyond that. So that's,
Right.
yeah.
Nice. So it sounds like you have a lot of the same foundations that many of us have, just in terms of Christianity. What most of us, it seems like we have all had Christianity as our foundational starting point, our start here point, and have had to grow or blossom into who we truly are. After having that as our introduction, my question is, how did you do that while being in these European countries? Like, how could you create a solid spiritual relationship? You've spoken about spiritual guides. I'm sure you're aware of ancestral energy. Like, how can you really tap in to who you are being in these primarily white spaces?
Very good question. A lot of the times for me, it has always been about the inner journey. And I'll take you back to when I actually lived full time in Australia for 5 years at the age of 25. So going there, and often I made sure I was living by a body of water. I literally had nothing to do but to be and to connect and to learn. And that's where I deep dived into more about spirituality, angel connections, trying to understand and tap into my clairaudient gift, that I just use for me and whatnot. But it's a very good question around like, it was like I blocked out the external in order to go inside. And for me, I would say it was never about the location. That for me, that dictated how deeply I could go into my spiritual journey, if that makes sense. So here I am, like you say, in a white country of Australia, but it is a solo journey, like it has been most of this time in all these different countries. And it's really just been about me centering and connecting. And even Spirit once said to me as I was craving and crying out for picking a location. Where should I go? Where should I go? They literally said, it's not about the location, it's about the work that you do on yourself, regardless of where you are. So, that kind of calmed me in my decisions as far as picking different locations. And again, it wasn't that I set out to travel and just find myself. For me, travel initially, the second time around when it came to the digital nomad journey, was about just living courageously and living as an example for myself, and to have a spontaneous experience of like, what would happen if I just didn't make a plan for tomorrow and just showed up in one place, knowing I'm covered financially and I could just let life happen? What would that look like and what would that feel like? And through that, I stumbled into spaces that where I could connect with more spiritual people or locals who thought the same, or found communities online. And so, yeah, although it was again primarily white spaces, I was able to navigate and find people in some of these spaces that looked like me and thought like me. So it was okay.
Nice. So it's been, I don't know, over 10 years, I guess, since you have left the state. And I mean, I'm sure your family has come around by now, in kind of accepting and seeing you for who you are. The question is like, how do you take all that you've learned from the outside and like use it as a tool, use it to assist, with your actually family dynamics? Like, how does it help? I know for me, one of the things that I'm very aware of is how much peace I gain from being outside the U.S. Like, I feel at peace, for the most part. I'm cool. When I was living in Atlanta, I was just nothing but, like if we, you could get it, he could get it, anybody could get it at any time. Like it was just, there was a lot of anger always coursing throughout my body. And being here, I've been in the position to just come into a homeostasis when it comes to my energy levels and not give so much outside of myself. I felt like being, I call living in America being in a relationship with a narcissist. And I've been saying that for years. Like, so when I left, I was like, I'm glad because I'm no longer in that relationship with this narcissistic energy. This is something that's been gaslighting me. Like, I've been gaslit, You tell me it's okay for me to be here, but then you chase me down, you abuse my sisters, you target my children. Like, I'm not with it. So before I blow up everything, let me just come into a place where I can be and I can relax. And so I'm curious, like, what is all of that for where it relates to your family? Like, how do you transmute the energy that you have received on the outside and the you that you've become on the outside? How does that apply when it comes to family?
So I would say at the end of the day, unlike you, like my energy has always been one of, cliche as it sounds, love and light. Like I've always been the peaceful, tranquil, calm energy to where people literally ask me, do you ever get angry? Like it's just unreal. And so I can say my family has respected who I have been. Who I considered myself to be in the past, even if they didn't get it, even if there's probably rumblings and undertones that I may not be aware of, because I am have always had this bubble of protection, and even though I know, I again the black sheep energy, it's not for me to take on what they're saying and doing, and it was easier for me to cut that off as I sought a life outside of the USA. And did some work to like cut spiritually some of those ties. Now, when it comes to connecting to my family now, recovering from the people-pleasing mentality of showing up for everybody and being the one to maintain the connection over the years, it was just like eventually I just had to release that and say, everybody is okay without me, because I think there was some ingrained idea that I had to be there helping people in one way or another in some capacity. And stepping outside of that and moving away, it was just like, no, the world still turns. Everybody still is making their own way. And for some reason, if I ever go back or things have happened, it always seemed like that energy of like, oh, she's here. We can pull on the energy or ask for this, that, and the other. And it's just like, no, that's not how this works, So I just stop showing up or inserting my energy into other people's lives. And if they want to connect with me when it comes to my family, then I allow them to do so. If I have a thought to connect with them, I definitely keep in touch with my nieces and nephews a lot, and my sister, one of my sisters, and my best friend, of course, and my grandma. But outside of that, everybody's just doing their own thing and living their own lives and making their own way. And so I respect everybody for what they're doing. And I love that I do genuinely feel that they love me. And they do take some semblance of pride in the fact that I am the one who has decided to march to the beat of my own drum in this lifetime. Even if they don't get it, even if they don't understand it, they still, I truly believe, love me for me. And sometimes take inspiration from that. So,
I love that. I really,
yeah.
really love that. I will say that hearing you talk about your family's support, I'm sure a lot of women listening right now can relate. Like initially, yeah, it may come off as weird. It may be something that people don't understand. Like there may be a lot of question marks. But eventually people come around and they start to realize, okay, well, hold on. She kind of knew something that we all didn't know. Like we chose to march according to these rules, this system, this standard. And she ain't over there doing that. She over there living her best life. She doing what she moving. She's moving. And obviously she's not destitute. She ain't come back over here, looking crazy. She coming back over here and she's shining bright. She's beautiful. So yeah, at a certain point, you gotta bow down. You gotta give credit. You gotta throw them roses. You gotta get the petals. Everybody gotta get on one accord. Everybody has to get on one accord eventually. I say that because even for me, like I was saying to get out a long time ago when Trump first got elected, I was like, oh. It's time for me to go. It's time to go. It's time to go, y'all. It's time to go. And people were really like, oh, it's not no big deal, And oftentimes I find that there are things that I know that I don't always have the explanation for. I am clear cognizant. I am aware, and I do have a knowing that I can't always help people. I can't help you. I can't help you understand what it is that I know, but I know what I know. When I had the awareness to get out, I really didn't have a way. I didn't have like a pathway. I didn't have a clear vision of how to transition out of the United States. And at that time, I'm a mother of four. I'm in partnership with two. I have a house. We have cars. Like there's just a lot of attachment. And the Most High made a way for me to make my exit after my daughter graduated from high school, and I only had one more kid left in school. So I was like, okay, now is a good time to make the exit. But everything about my journey being abroad has really been so intertwined and laced with my spirituality. Before I left the States, I did not have any problem with summoning my ancestors before I left the state. I was already tapped in, tuned in. My altar at the time that I left was probably as big as the wall. It probably was as big as the wall in this world. That was my altar. It was huge. And I was always feeding that energy. I was always giving thanks and praise to those who came before me. Because it was crazy to me that colonialism, that the colonizer made people think that their ancestors were demons. That is crazy. That is crazy to me. I'm still weirded out by the concept that someone could make you believe that your grandmother and your grandfather, who are deceased, are now demons.
Right.
Okay, so that was always bizarre. That was that not, make it make sense and doesn't, right? So I could never really get into that propaganda and that concept. But what I realized is that I had sown so many good seeds while in the US that by the time I made it to Africa, because I had been solo traveling for a long time. Like I had already been going out, going in by myself. I had been solo traveling to Dominican Republic, I solo traveled to Brazil. Like I was already doing my Black girl travel. But living somewhere else, like moving out, like that was the big leap for me. And everything about that pathway to getting out was really divinely led. There was a lot of divinity, a lot of spiritual guidance, a lot of steps that were already laid out and pathways were clear so that I could do this with ease. But the thing about it is, I am very grateful for how deep this journey has become because I've been able to travel outside of the States. I'm so grateful for the space. It's really the space. In the States, I never felt like there was space for exploration. There wasn't space, there wasn't time. There wasn't this openness to be able to just sit down, and draw a circle in the sand, to be able to sit down and to breathe in the air and to observe how the trees swayed and the palm trees went left to right. There was not enough of that. And I recognize that that is a very big portion of the spiritual journey for myself. I just needed space. I needed space. I needed space to release things that didn't belong to me. I needed space to be able to just be. I just needed space. So when I ask you about your spiritual growth, I'm really curious on how the journey looked for you. Like what was being in these places? What was it giving you that you wouldn't have gotten if you stayed in California? What did it do in terms of the different levels of your growth? What did it do? How did it enhance those different levels? Tell me a little bit about the journey and just pockets and areas where you see, okay, it flipped here, it went there, it went here. Even one of the things that I talk about, I'll say this and then I'll land. One of the things that I talk about, in my experience, so I jumped from Egypt to Senegal to Gambia. And West Africa, being in West Africa, me being in West Africa as a Black woman, was probably the biggest gift that I had to my femininity. Like, my femininity needed to be in West Africa. And the reason I say that is because everything for me in the US, everything that required me to get help from the masculine also required a level of advocacy. I had to advocate for myself in order to get help. Like if I needed help with something, I would have to advocate, like, hey, oh, hello, can you help? Yes, this here. Like there was a lot of advocacy, a lot of direction, a lot of directive. If I did not advocate for myself, I would not get the help that I needed from the masculine in America. But when moving to West Africa, I had to say nothing. The question was always, can I help you with that? Let me help you with that. Let me get that for you. Like at a certain point, I stopped thinking I was supposed to help. Like I would just stand there and wait for help. And sure enough, West Africa was like, say less. That's what we're here for. I remember, this is going to sound so crazy. I remember watching a show. It's called Insecure. And there was an episode where the one of the characters, the one who is married to Derek or something like that, I think her husband's name is Derek. But they were going to like some kind of cookout or some outdoor event. And they were either coming or leaving. But what stood out about that scene is that they both had one handle of the cooler. She had one handle and he had the other handle. And I had seen that before. Like I had been out in Atlanta and seen it before, seen a woman holding one handle of the cooler and a man holding the other end of the cooler. And I thought to myself, that doesn't make sense. It was a bomb for me in my head when I saw it in real life. So seeing it on the show, I was like, still bomb, like it came up again. And I was like, what is it with me? Why is it, what? Can she not help the man? Like, is it not, is there something wrong with helping? And then I realized that it is things like that West African masculine energy. It's that energy that my feminine needs, respects, craves, appreciates, wants, desires. I don't want you to ask me for help with the cooler, babe. I don't want that. Actually, I don't want that. Okay? You can ask your homeboy, but you don't, mm-mm. We're not going to do that now. We're not going to do that now. My guy, pick up the cooler and walk with this. You're not going to inconvenience me with this. So for me, that really nurtured my feminine in ways that I became aware of almost instantly. It's like it was like a whole shattering of the need to constantly advocate for myself. Like, can you do this? Oh God, can you just do it? And like, I don't have to do that. There was a desire to assist, a desire to help. Nobody was pressed about me having an attitude. Like, so what if she got it? That's who she is. She's a woman with an attitude. I'm still gonna help her carry the luggage. I'm still gonna pick up the suitcase. I'm still gonna grab the cooler because as a man, that's where I'm at. So yeah, that was such a big component for me. And I'm so aware of how it affected my spiritual journey. I'm so aware of how it affected that. So I'd love to hear about just ways you're aware of countries, locations, people, just effects on your direct journey and who you've become and who you are today.
Okay, I think for me, when it comes to my Australia journey, which was a big piece of my life and pretty much the only relationship that was like fully developed when I was in Australia, being able to lean into the now soft life of not having to do anything for 5 years but to focus on me. But to say, okay, how do I want to be and live and relax into who I am? And literally before I left, I was like, randomly had this thought. I was like, I just want to be somewhere where I have the time and the space and the energy to do me, be me. And if it comes with a partner who takes care of everything, by all means. And then
Give
it
thanks
happened
and
literally
pray.
months later, right? And it happened months later. And on par with that though, during that time, I had a mystery illness of not figuring out why I was bleeding for many, 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 many months at a time. Come to find out it was PCOS. And so when I was in that not understanding what was happening to my feminine body, and I was really like questioning what it meant to be a woman a lot of that time. While I was trying to figure out what was going on with me, that definitely played a part in me tuning in and trying to connect and understand what was happening, not only on my, physical level, but spiritually and mentally, like why was all of this going on? So, during that time, I was able to deep dive a lot more into my connection to, I would say, my spirit team, but that's when I started to become aware of my connection to angels and to play in that energy. And so traveling in these different places, regardless of where they were, it allowed me to play. So I did play a lot and have fun connecting and not take my life so seriously like I had in the US, because I was very regimented, organized, structured. Even though I had my creative side and I always let that fly out of me, there was this sense of like, again, that just be free flowing even more. And that gift of being able to be free flowing, as I traveled and as I was comfortable and not in survival mode, a lot of the time, that also assisted me. When it came to traveling, you could say the European countries mostly, and even in Cape Town, South Africa, my deepest connection comes through nature, being in nature and tuning into nature in every single location that I'm in. And so for me, that
It's
is
the
the
land.
deepest. It's the land. It's the
Yeah.
land. So even though, again, regardless of what land, it's the nature, the rivers, the seas that called to me, being in a forest in Scotland and tuning into something, even if it's past life remembrance, and just bawling my eyes out because I can feel the vibration of the energy. And that was someplace I had always wanted to go since I was young, Scotland and Ireland. And I finally was able to do that. And again, because of that naturescape in those two places was calling to me strongly to just come and enjoy that connection. And so, yeah, again, for me, it's really been about nature and what it has meant to connect to nature. Now, where you are, I look forward to traveling the continent and deep diving. And I do see that probably as the next season of my life is coming there and experience something that even I can't comprehend just yet, but I do see it on the way. I do see that as part of being on the way.
Yeah, I love that
Yeah.
you've named your tools, the tools, the light, the being in nature, the land itself as being that tool. And even that is such a divine feminine tool of reclamation. It's Mother Earth. It's literally Mother Earth. And that's a big reason why I was so adamant about this season of the podcast, because there's so much talk about indigenous, people and who's indigenous here and there. We are the mother of civilization. We are the mother of all human civilization. We are indigenous to every single part of this earth. We are indigenous to every single part of this earth. And
Yes.
it's so important to acknowledge that, because they say, wherever I am, I am. Wherever I go, I find myself. We are finding these pieces and components of ourselves that literally exist in every single corner of the world, some more than others. Some have a higher radioactive, measurement. Others have a lower radioactive measurement. I'd love to know about that too. Like, what areas did you find that were just speaking and shouting and screaming your name as if you were Beyonce coming from a homecoming tour? What areas were the areas where you just felt like nature really had like that? It was that you was that girl in nature in those areas.
Oh goodness. I would say Cape Town at the top of the mountain.
At the top.
At the top of the
And you're
mountain.
number one.
Absolutely number one. I remember being up there and I am just in awe of what was happening energetically, and I'm just crying, crying, crying. And because the old version of me was very stoic, and until I started to travel, my heart energy started to open up and expand like never before. And to the point to where my cousin and best friend, she didn't ruin the moment, but she was like, "Oh my gosh, I didn't know you knew how to cry." Like she had not
Wow.
experienced this version of me that was in tune and connected to something so deeply, so strongly. Now she knew I was spiritual, she knew all the things, but again, there was this restriction on my energy. I feel like that was associated with LA and who I was and who I was being. And until I left and I said, I would like her to come experience just life in general with me outside of the US. And so yeah, that land connected in Cape Town was amazing. And again, the second would be in Scotland and Ireland, being in the forest there. But all these places that I've traveled, my homes, my accommodations. Like now you see there's grapes and vineyards and things like that. Beautiful garden down below. It's like if the place and the space has nature, I'm all for it. Because I am so grateful for its existence. And even being back in Compton for a little while visiting family, I walk to the local park. I have the park to myself. I'm doing my connecting to the trees even there. And I know they didn't get a lot of attention. They don't get a lot of attention. And I just always felt so relaxed after coming and spending time with them and giving them energy and love. And yeah, so again, it's a nature connection that goes beyond, like you say, a place or location. But yeah, those two places are super potent and powerful for me. I'm trying to think if I didn't feel necessarily that deeply into it when I was in Australia, but my spiritual journey took off because I had such, I had literally my entire days to myself to connect and to lean into playing with spirit and all the things. So that was there.
Amazing. Yeah, I
One
mean,
more.
okay. Oh, go ahead. Go
Wait,
ahead.
one more.
Definitely.
One more
Definitely.
was in Croatia, a little bitty place called Primoštin, Croatia. Now I ended up there for a conference, a digital nomad conference, my very first one. After leaving Albania, I was like, oh, let me just go up here and meet 300 other digital nomads. That was when my community expanded and I was in awe. But going there and the first day before anything is happening, I put my feet into the water on the stones. And again, I had this visceral reaction of crying. I just was like, what's happening? Like, why am I crying so much? And I get goosebumps right now thinking about it and just having that reconnection to nature because I wasn't doing that in Albania. Like, as much. There's a park, there's a little bit of water, but it wasn't my main focus. So to come and touch down and be again associated with the land and in nature, that did something to me as well. And then that was the kickoff of a beautiful, beautiful journey of again traveling to most of the countries I've seen after that point. So it was kind of like a preparation for what was to come, not just with land, but with people and connecting. So
Yeah. No, thank you for that, because that really allows us to you just took us on the journey with you, so we could really see the change, not really just hear about it, but for you to paint that picture, it literally makes all the difference. It's so important to name those things. There's a few things that you said that I just want to touch on. One of the things that you said was that my energy was stoic. You're talking about restriction, and you're talking about a woman who's not able to express herself freely. And I have to keep things into perspective, because we're speaking to Black and melanated women, Black and brown women, who have not been given the green light when it comes to those emotions. Like, we started out this podcast with that INDEPENDENT thing, like that strong thing. And I would say that that strong persona is even propaganda. I would say that that's one of the biggest tools that work against us. There's a whole entire video that I did, and that I probably will just have to go ahead and release, but I'll say this because I said it in the video again. We tend to think that being strong, that there's so much honor and valiance in that. Why we would need to be valiant as women, I don't know. But we tend to put that up on a pedestal, the strong thing, particularly because the opposite. For us, what we've learned is that the opposite of strong is weak, right? That's what we learned. We learned that if you're not strong, you're weak. That's what we're taught. Someone who is not strong is weak. What I've learned and what my message is that If you're not strong, you're soft. And that we're in an era where we need to be soft, where
Yes,
we
I
have to
agree.
be, in order for us to survive, in order for us to thrive, we have to be soft. We cannot live in this iron existence. We're not in the industrial era. We're not workhorses. We're not mules and donkeys and slaves. We don't have to prove anything to anyone. We actually don't have anyone to prove anything. It's nothing. Who's there? And when we show how I'm so strong, where is the reward? Where is the medal? Where is the song and dance? Where, what? Where's the money? What is it? It's for what? What do you get when, after you do all of that, after you've jumped through a ring of burning fire, walked a tightrope, after you jumped on a motorcycle, rode it, and then flipped it over and landed in okay, give thanks and praise. What did you get?
Oh, there's power in the softness. There is so much power in the softness that it not only seeps into who you are, but it seeps into everything you touch. I truly believe that. Like when I was in Australia, just being able to lean into my softness, the magic that happened within my partner's life when I was there is because I was allowed to just be me and to allow my natural state to exist. The most connection to his children, the most money he's ever made, the most groundedness he's ever been. Just so much magic that pours from our existence. And again, like you said, it's not about being strong. If we are given the capacity to simply be and own in this divine feminine energy that is our natural state, it is so beautiful. It is transformative, not only for us, but for everyone around us who happens to stumble into our orbit, into our light, be it in our physical presence, in our community who we're speaking to and projecting our energy to online, in our community spaces. It is just super powerful. So I totally understand. And I really like that definition that the opposite of strong is soft, you know, and that softness is just a breath of fresh air. It really is.
A challenge to really attain it, because what we're observing is generations and generations and generations and generations and generations of them strong, strong, and we're so strong, and look how many weights we can lift, and look at how many hoops we can do. Okay, it's like being the current day ancestor, being the living ancestor. The biggest feat is getting that strength up off you. I gotta get it up off me. Get up off me. Get up off me. I don't wanna do it. I don't wanna do it. I don't. Okay. And even the concepts, and I spoke about this in my podcast with Lilac. So if you have not listened to the podcast with Lilac, please go and listen to that right now. But I spoke about it in another one of my podcasts, that even the concept of us sacrificing ourselves on behalf of our ancestors, and I have to struggle in this way because I am doing my ancestral work, and I'm the one who has to break the generational curses. Like, all of that, it's giving struggle, it's giving sacrificial, it's giving strength, and I don't want to do that. I'm actually not doing that. I'm not doing that. Okay, I'm gonna sit under the waterfall and eat fruit. That's what I'm gonna do. And that's the resistance. Okay. It's the whole, like, when I tell you, it's the whole reason that I created the compassion course. I didn't even have all these pieces, all this knowing that I do. I oftentimes, like I said at the beginning, I know things. I don't know why I know them. I don't know how they're supposed to unfold, but I'm an action person. So once I know, oh, you want me to go right? I go right. I'll figure it out later. Like, I'm not here. I'm not gonna go back and forth with y'all. Right is where I'm going. So
Same, exactly.
I'm not time for that. I'm not, y'all not gonna whoop me. Okay. So let me just go ahead and go right. Okay. So for me,
Enjoying this episode? If so, head over to freethefeminine.com To take the spiritual evolution quiz, find out which level of evolution in your spiritual journey you're on right now. See you over at freethefeminine.com.
When it comes to my work, my biggest contribution, my biggest gift to Black women has been the creation of my compassion course. So my course is really what I offer as my gift, and that compassion course is really about cultivating this energy that many of us never cultivated. Like we never had step one, step two, step three. This is how you, first of all, this is why you need it. This is what it'll do for you. This is how this affects your bottom line. This will change the relationships that you choose. This will change the job that you choose. When you have that softness, you don't choose oppressive structures and oppressive systems. You don't choose oppressive environments to live in. You're aware, like, I need to be held in softness. I need to be exalted in honor, in softness, in gentle, in kindness, in love. So you choose differently when your life is surrounded by compassion, when compassion is your foundation. So I created a whole entire 6-week course, the compassion course, to really give the step-by-step blueprint for cultivating that foundation. And I have to say that because the more I hear you speak about what traveling has provided, the more I'm so acutely aware of how many of my listeners right now, like, sis, I know you're listening right now, and I know you can't afford to jump up and go. I know you got so much going on, you can't just pack up your stuff and throw up deuces and leave. I get that. I get that. And for whatever reason, it may be your kids, it may be your financial situation, for whatever reason, the most you can do is a vacation. But even when you take that vacation, you still coming back into that environment that is toxic. It's still not helping you become who you were created to be. It's still not helping. So if that is the reality, then you need the tools. You need the step-by-step process to figure out how to cultivate this thing that we're currently speaking about, that we receive by leaving and getting out, how to cultivate that thing in-house. Because it's not easy. I tell people, even for me, I don't do half as much spiritual work as I did when I was living in Atlanta. I don't do that much work. And one of the sisters who moved to Tanzania, she heard me speak on why I don't do that spiritual work. And it just provided so much relief from her. I had to explain that oftentimes, when your environment is toxic and repressive, you need additional protection. You need more. But when you're living in an environment where you're supported, where you're nurtured, where you're appreciated, honored, seen, valued, and caressed, you don't need to get up and put the floor to water. You don't have to throw that stuff over your shoulder. You don't have to do all that. You don't have to do all that. You ain't got to incense yourself and say, you don't have to do all that, because the way has been already made clear.
Yes, and there's a gentleness in the way in which you are allowed to connect or move. You know, it doesn't take, like you say, all the hoopla when you are calmed and centered, and it can happen, like you say, where they are. It's like you're meeting them exactly where they are with the compassion course. It's
Absolutely.
amazing.
Absolutely. So I so appreciate you, woman. Like, I appreciate you coming on and sharing your story. I feel like we really need to do, like, just a part two, because I would love to go a little further into, just some of the dynamics of interacting with people. And I'll say this for the record. I left America because I really didn't want to be in interaction with white people. There's been so much anger, so much animosity, so much resentment for the damage that's been done on my community, the damage that have been done for my brothers, my sisters. I'm not trying to come over here and see you all And I didn't realize how freeing it was for me to be away until I got to Johannesburg, South Africa, and I had to interact with them. And I was like, oh God, this is too much. It was too much. It was a lot for me. It felt like I was like I was in a PTSD sort of place, and I was being re-traumatized again. And I will say that I'm so organically aware of how one can be in white spaces and still be able to thrive and get to their bottom line. And there's a lot of respect and admiration that I have for that. And I think that that begs its own kind of conversation. I think it begs its own conversation because there's so much in every single corner of the world for us. There's so much in every single corner of the world, every single piece and inch of this world has treasures, riches, jewels for us. And yet there has to be acknowledgement in the fear, in the trauma, in the wounds that have been created by colonizers, and really how to handle it, how to be in relationship with the land, with the bottom line, and still be able to interact and walk around without feeling that hurt, that heaviness that exists in the hearts and in the experiences of those who look like you. So I feel like there is a lot more that we could go deep into, and I just love you, and I love your energy, and I love that we're both wearing
Thank
off
you.
the shoulder tops,
Right.
and I feel like you should have took your straps off so you could have full shoulder, so we could just
Oh.
be shoulder twins.
Twinsies.
But we will have to get together again. I think I'm gonna have to have Lumen come on our Lionsgate workshop because I really want to just take the time to just go a little deeper if we can, and really use that Lionsgate portal to bring Black women together, to bring us all together to do our work. We have a lot of work to do, and there's just things that need to be done on behalf of us, by us. And yeah, so Lionsgate portal, I think we'll have to have Lumen on. Now, Lumen, is there anything that you would say right now to the listener who's like, oh my God, like, I love your story. I've not heard about Black women doing this type of travel, and even I absolutely relate to the land. Like, I know exactly what you're saying. For that person who's listening right now, like, what would you want to say to her? You can say anything from your heart.
I would tell them to that wherever you are in life and journey and on this planet, that it first starts as an inside job. So if you can shut out the noise of the external, of naysayers, of any noise outside of you, and say, I'm going to take time to tune into what I truly, truly want, getting to the root of who you are comes above all things for me, and understanding like I am here on this planet to be the best, most optimum version of me. And that's part of the beautiful journey that you'll take. So it starts with you. It starts with you and saying, what do I truly want outside of my traditional 9 to 5 or the religion I was brought up in? What is my soul? What is my spirit? What has been niggling at the back of my mind? To do, to tune into, to be, to play in, to find, to connect with at a deeper level. Sit with yourself, I would say sit with yourself for a while and just allow yourself to talk to yourself, have a conversation, and really go beyond the basics when it comes to that conversation. Like truly get real with yourself. And maybe because I was saying this to myself the other day, I heard these words just come, and I'll say them right now. It said, tell the truth, tell the truth. So sit with yourself and tell the truest truth to yourself that you possibly can about who you are, what's working, what's not, and how to own that, taking that radical responsibility. And that will be the starting point. Now, there's so much more after that and stuff like that I teach inside the Golden Goddess Era of my personal community. But that's there's layers to it. So that's what I would say at the beginning. Tune in.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, sis. I really appreciate you. Thank you. Thank you.
You are
All right.
welcome.
So, ladies, the next episode that you will be hearing is going to be from a young lady who is living in Costa Rica. So, make sure you tune in. We are releasing podcasts every Friday, 8 Fridays in a row until we get to Lionsgate. So, bear with us. And if you need to contact any of the interviewees who are on the podcast, just please check the description and you will find all the contact information specifically with this guest. Lumen is on TikTok, she's on Instagram. So all the information will be listed in the description. And I will see you on the next podcast. Peace.